I'm going to ask Samuel. Where's Samuel at? I'm looking around, looking around. You going to join me tonight? Come on up here. I'm going to give him the yellow mic, Joe, if you would. Just take the reverb out of it. Samuel is probably what we could call our first internship here at our church. All right? He came to us and God's got a calling on my life to speak, to minister. And so I just told him he's been with me, with us all for like 2 weeks, right? Just come on the other side. That way you can lean on this, all right? And I told him, I'm going to go after the adults tonight, and he's going to go after the teenagers. Is that cool? All right? And we're going to tackle a topic. We've been dealing a lot lately on being connected, you know? And we started this whole series on be connected to God. Remember, he says, hey, Jesus declared, I'm the vine, you're the branches. All right? He says, God's the gardener. He said, hey, listen, if you are connected, then you're going to bear fruit. If you're not connected, then you're going to get thrown out. All right. In other words, it's like this. We said it at the very beginning. There's one or two reasons why your life is not working out right now. All right. Number one, it's because you're totally disconnected and you're not getting supply. All right. You're not connected to what God wants in your life. You're not connected to his word. You're not connected to the Spirit, and you're drying up. Or number two, the Bible says who the Lord loves, he prunes them. All right. And so the vines that are producing fruit, he cuts things off so that they can produce more fruit. And sometimes in life, we got to be pruned. All right. In all areas, financially, friendships, in relationships, there's got to be some things that are pruned away. All right. And so we dealt with that. Then we talked about the benefits of being connected to God, the wisdom that it gains, the benefits of that wisdom. Then we talked about, hey, what happens if you're not connected? Then we went in just a few weeks ago and we started talking about how to connect to others through our relationship that we have with him. And we did the do's and don'ts of relationships. All right, we use Colossians 3, and I'm not going to review it. You can find all these online. But Colossians 3, we took 2 weeks. We did 1 week of the don'ts. Don't do this if you want to stay in a relationship. Do this if you want to stay in a relationship, and it's all there in Colossians 3. Tonight, we're going to start tackling relationships individually. All right? And in all honesty, we're going to deal with probably the most important form of relationship physically that we have, and that's friendship. Now, I know you might think, okay, no, my spouse, that's the most important. If you don't have a friendship with your spouse, you're in trouble, all right? Matter of fact, in all honesty, can we just be real? In our society, we jump way too soon into relationships, too seriously. And we start dating, and the next thing you know, we're in love within 5 minutes. You know, we're 12 years old, madly in love, and found the love of our life, and we just, you know, found them on Facebook. You know, we found them on Twitter. And in all honesty, we look at that and we laugh at it, but the truth is, adults, we do it the same. We just jump into these relationships, and we immediately trust, and we immediately pour out our lives and our hearts to people that we don't even know. And in all honesty, if you're going to build lasting relationships, it's got to be based on friendships. So tonight, we're going to take several different scriptures. We're going to start in Proverbs, all right? So go over there real quick or write it down. Proverbs chapter number 12, okay? And we're going to start with verse number 26. So in Proverbs 12, verse number 26, Tanya will get it up there for you in just a second. It says this, all right? And read it with me. Proverbs 12, 26. The godly give good advice to their friends, and the wicked, all right, they lead them astray. It says, hey, the godly, they give good advice to their friends. All right. If you look in other passages of scripture, you look in different versions of the Bible, it's saying, hey, listen, if you are a godly person, then everything that comes out of you benefits those around you. Everything that you do, everything that you say benefits those around you. It also goes on and it says in different passages too that, hey, listen, the godly choose their friends wisely. All right. Now, we were talking about that earlier. About why it's important that we choose our friends wisely. Can I tell you this? Not everybody that comes into your life and says that they love you actually does. Very few people that come into your life will actually truly, genuinely love you unconditionally for who you are. All right? Now, how many of you have had that? You've had those relationships you thought were going to last forever only to find that they were not solid at all. Anybody have that? Anybody ever been broken by a friendship that you thought was supposed to be real, only to find out that person's the one talking behind your back, you know, and they're laughing at you, you know? And I'm going to say this. It seems to get worse with every generation. It seems that, you know, every generation gets a little bit better at bullying. And we want to say, well, it's that younger generation. Well, the younger generation, they act on and they react to what they're being shown. All right? Does that make sense? We deal with bullying a lot in our country, don't we? And we a lot of times focus on our high schools. We focus on that. But there's a lot of bullying that happens in our own homes, all right? In the way that we talk to our spouses and the way that we talk to each other. Bullying that happens in our workplaces to where we put other people down. And we make them feel really discouraged. I was in there with Samuel earlier, and I asked him, I said, you know, if we're talking about choosing friends wisely, what is it that you would say? What do you need to take into consideration? All right, and I'm going to give you a moment. Why don't you just take that part? Choosing a friend wisely, what is something, if at your, how, tell them how old you are, by the way.
I'm 15.
For how many more days?
For like 6 more days.
6 more days, all right. He's almost a sweet 16, right? All right, so, all right. At your age, what is it something you need to take into consideration when choosing a friend?
For me, most importantly, is how they present themselves in public. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, when you're around your friends, you're probably the most comfortable you are. Because, you know, when you're at home, you want to impress your parents because, you know, they're the people who, you know, give you praises most of the time at home. But as a teenager, when I choose a friend, it's most important to me how they act in public. Because when they act a certain way, you'll be able to see their aura, you know, their presence and who they are in Christ. And so when you sit there and you just look at them and they, you know, they say one thing. They go to the church and they say one thing and then they go to school and then they act another way. It's kind of like a big red flag for me, you know. It's important that you choose your friends based on how they present themselves in public.
How many of you would agree with that? You say that's pretty good advice. All right, now here's the thing. I've been studying this for months, all right, knowing this series was coming. He got it 15 minutes before church started, all right? So that's pretty impressive, especially considering the verse we were about to read, all right? So let's go to Luke real quick. Luke chapter number 6, verses 43. Matter of fact, the number one point that we were going to talk about tonight is how to pick a good friend, how to be able to spot someone that can make a good friend. Luke says this, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. That's pretty simply put, right? Look at the next verse. Verse number 44 says, a tree is identified by its fruit. Figs never grow on thorn bushes, nor grapes on bramble bushes. All right, verse 45 brings it all together. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a what? Good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Now, what his advice is spot on. By how they present themselves in public. In other words, there's two things that we must do when trying to spot people in our life that are going to literally add to what God is trying to do in our lives. Number one, we got to watch. All right? Now, some people, and can I tell you this? If someone says, I don't like to be judged, you're judging me, that's normally a red flag for me. All right? Because in all honesty, what's got you so on edge? All right? In all honesty, what's got you? Listen, people are going to criticize you your entire life. All right? They're going to find things wrong with the things you wear. They're going to find things wrong with the things you say. Me and Sam were meeting with somebody before church, and they were both laughing at me because I am the worst speller, and here I've got 15-year-olds telling me how to spell certain words, all right? And you know, hey, listen, it was in good fun. People are always going to be looking at your life. And Paul put it this way, since we're surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let's lay aside those weights of sin, right? Those little things that beset us, that trip us up. And let's run with patience the race that God has put before us. Can I tell you this tonight? All right? All eyes are on you. All right? Those little eyes that are in your house, they're on you. And they're learning what you say. And they're watching what you do. Those little eyes that run around this church, they're on you. You know, teenagers, listen to me. These kids look up to you. You know how I know that? They're always picking on you. They're always grabbing Patrick's hat. They're always messing around with Benton's clothes. They're always doing things. I watch it all the time. Why? Because you're a hero to them. And what you say and how you're acting, man, it models their life. And man, that's easy for us as adults to say, teenagers, watch the kids watching you. Moms and dads, listen, adults, watch. I noticed something that I love about our church. There is not really gender or age-specific groups of people talking at the end. There's somebody standing over here, they're 60 years old, and right with them, somebody 30 years old, and right behind them, somebody 16 years old, and right up next to them is the person kicking them that's 6 years old, you know? And they're all standing around there talking. You know what it is? Elton John wrote about a circle of life, but he missed it. The circle of life is the fruit we're bearing that we're feeding each other. You know, man, if I want a good friend, then I first got to step back and watch. Number two, I got to listen. Because what they're talking about, is what their heart's all about. All right? The thing that they're obsessed with is what motivates them. The Bible says, hey, your life, it comes out of those heart treasures. You're guided by it. But then it also says our hearts, they can't be trusted. All right? They're evil. They're wicked, right? So listen, look, people are always going to be judging me. But the truth is I am confident and know of one thing. There is only one true judge of me. And his voice is what I focus on for that judgment. And all the other voices, they're just noise. All they do is they're alarms that are warning me to stay away from certain people. All right? Now listen, a lot of us get drawn to that criticism. You know, if somebody starts getting negative on Facebook, they get the most likes and the most comments. You ever notice that? It's the threads where people are arguing that have millions of comments. And I'm like, man, listen, you know why people are drawn to that junk? You know what I see? When I see people that post those things, when I see people that are on those things, I see people that I back away from. You say you're judging them. No. I'm judging myself. I know my weaknesses and I know my strengths, and I know that I need solid people beside me. And I want to be a solid person to stand beside someone else. So how do we recognize friends? Sam, you're spot on. We watch. We look at how they act. You say that's judging. No, it's not judging. It's reflecting. You know, can I tell you this? Judgment, can we just define judgment real quick? I'm going to use Samuel since he's already up here. Judgment means that I come over to Samuel and I say, because you're 15, we're not going to let you speak with a microphone on our stage. That's judging. Does that make sense? All right. Now, if I come over here and I'm talking and tonight he comes up here and he says something that's totally against what the Bible says, and I go up to him after service, because I never do it publicly in front of him because it's not anything meant to shame, and I say, Sam, what you said wasn't biblical, so until you know this better, we're going to hold off on putting a microphone in your hands. That's not judgment. That's protection. That's saying, hey, I'm going to watch out for you. It's protecting him from all the critics, and it's protecting us from all the responsibility that God's put on my shoulders that I have to stand in front of him one day and answer for every word that's said up here. You know, people say all the time, why do you take it so seriously? Even singers, I don't let them up here till we know them. You know, people say, I got somebody that can really sing. Well, give me their CD and I'd like to talk to them. You got to meet with a singer, you better believe it. You know why? We didn't work 5 years to put somebody up here that says something that's totally anti-Christ. We didn't do that. We did it so that everything that comes off of here, I got to stand before God one day, and I take that pretty seriously. You know, and so I look at it and it's like, man, I'm protecting myself, but I'm protecting you too, because I realize this in church. Most people don't search the truth for themselves. They hear it and they believe it. You know, they see it on the internet and it's got to be the truth. And so therefore, I'm going to make sure that what's said up here is Bible. All right. So number one, I'm going to say that. That's a huge compliment to bring a 15-year-old up here and say, I got that much confidence in this guy standing beside me. You know, and I told him, we've been working on how to develop a sermon. I said, I can either teach you or you can do it. And the best life lessons are doing it. You know, you want to learn how to change your oil? Change it. Now, please know remotely a little bit about what you're doing, because you might blow your engine up, all right? And if you don't know what you're doing, call Dennis. He's good at that, all right? So that's an inside joke. I sat in my yard crying on the phone to Dennis because I did not know how to change my lawnmower's oil. But that's another story for another day. All right, here it is. Point number two, all right? How do we attract a good friend? Sam, you go first. How do we attract good friends to us, good people to us?
Well, when we look for a good friend, we look for how they live life. So it should in turn be the same, because if not, then you're just being like hypocritical. So if you want to be a good friend, you got to be the example. And that's what I tell like all of my friends all the time. Be the example. It's not hard to read one little verse, which is like 2 to 3 lines in the Bible, just one day. And who knows, that one little verse might change somebody's life in the long run. So it's always important that if you're going to, I'm going to use school a lot since I'm talking to the teenagers mostly, but when we're at school, it's important to be the example. It's important to set that standard for what Christians should be at school. I mean, no, you're not going to be perfect. No, who is perfect? Nobody. But it's important to set the example and to be the example for the kids in your school. Because a lot of people, they'll start looking up to you because they have that confidence. They want to do it, but until somebody else does it first, they're not going to do it. So it's important to be the example. It's important to set that standard for all the people that look up to you, because believe it or not, there's so many people that do look up to you.
Amen. All right. How many of you say, okay, that's pretty much spot on too? All right. We've got a statement that we use a lot around here. If we have a need, we plant a seed. Matter of fact, it's biblically based. All right. Matter of fact, look at this verse, if you would, in Proverbs real quick. Okay, go to Proverbs 18, verse 24. We're going to look at it in two different versions. We're going to look at King James Version first, then we're going to look at it in the NLT. Because I like different perspectives. So look at this. It says this. A man that hath friends must what? Show himself friendly. You want a friend? Be a friend. Does that make sense? Set the example. Take the lead, like he's saying. See, my thing is I know we said he's talking to teenagers, but I it's kind of a setup moment because I think everything that applies to them applies to us too. You know? And in all honesty, there's a lot of people that sit like this saying, I just don't have any friends. Well, I know why. You know? You can't sit like that. You know? It's like, well, I'm not one that just gets involved in conversation. Well, don't get mad when you don't get the invitation. You know, you got to put yourself out there. Now, can I say this? You don't change who you are. All right? Can I say, you know, how many of you love sports? Anybody like that? All right? Take your hands up. How many of you could care less about sports? All right? How many of you like the movies? Anybody like the movies? All right? Anybody? Okay, let's even get specific there. How many of you like comedies? You like to laugh, all right? Good deal. When I think comedy, I go back to Jerry Lee Lewis or whatever, you know, back in the day, all right? That's when they were actually funny, all right? Now, we've outgrown that. But, yeah, that's okay. How many of you like those scary stories? Yeah. When I was first dating, loved them. You know, because you gotta get close because you're scared. Now it's like, honey, we got to sleep with the lights on, make sure all the doors are locked. Is the gun loaded, all right? But the thing is you know, I just get terrified too easy. How many of you are the thriller? You want to be on the edge of the seat trying to figure out the mystery, you know? That's me. That's my genre right there. I love that thrill, all right? Now, in that, if let's put it out there. How many of you like the romance? All right, there you go. All right, good deal. Hold up. Everybody likes romance, put your hands in the air. And Steve, Benton, Randy, and Dennis are the only guys. All right, there we go. All right. Oh, and David. All right, David. All right, there it is. Okay, hey, no, there's nothing wrong with that. But the thing is, it's like, hey, you know, I've learned about friendship this thing. Let's just use the movie genre. If I'm a thriller guy, all right, and you want to go to the romance, then I know that it's only fair that I go to the romance too. Because by doing that, I am saying what matters to you matters to who? Me. Now, if I'm going to go to the romance, your butt better be there when we watch the thriller. Am I right? You know, you better sit through it and you better not talk. If I'm not allowed to talk through your little Nicholas Sparks, you're not allowed to talk through Ocean's 11. You know, I mean, you're just going to sit still. You know, but we live in a generation. We live in a world that's so brainwashed and driven by the idea of me that we forget that as a friend, we got to meet the needs of other people too. See, the best friends are the ones that will put your needs out there just like they put their own. Now, you're not a good friend if you only try to meet the needs of your friends and you never put yourself out there. Matter of fact, you even said it. In order to be a good friend, you must first know who? What'd you tell me? You must first know
Christ.
Christ, and then you got to know who you are.
Yourself,
yeah. He was sitting in there, and I was like, okay, Sam, what are we talking about with friendships? He said, hey, listen, you can't be a good friend until you know who you are. And that's true. Can I tell you this? You can't love someone until you know how to love yourself. You can't forgive someone until you learn how to forgive yourself. You know, in all honesty, most of your life lessons are going to start with you. Matter of fact, can we say all life lessons start with you? I tell him, I tell our guys, we talk about it all the time. We teach our teachers all this statement. If it doesn't move your heart, it'll never move theirs. If it doesn't touch your soul, it'll never touch theirs. It's got to minister to you before it'll ever minister to anybody else. So if it doesn't minister to you, don't use it. Don't put it out there. Can I tell you this? The Bible says if you're going to have a friend, you've got to be a friend. If you see the need, plant the seed. I need friends in my life. Well, then uncross your arms and go talk to somebody. Well, I'm scared of crowds. Hey, listen, you go to Walmart. Am I right? You go to the grocery store. Am I right? Well, then why can't you come make a hat with the ladies? Why can't you come eat breakfast with the guys? You say, well, you know, what if nobody... Hey, listen, what if makes nothing happen? All right? Matter of fact, it keeps things from happening. Try it. And if you don't like it, then be the difference. You say, what do you mean? Well, I don't like the way that people are. Then be different. You know, well, they left so-and-so out. Well, you're just as guilty. You see what I'm saying? man, we need a generation that says, I will step up and be what God's called me to be. And if I want friends, I got to be friends. Matter of fact, if you want God giving into your life, then you better be willing to give out of your life. Matter of fact, in Luke, and I didn't put this up there, Tanya, he goes on when we read those verses earlier, you know a tree by the way it produces, just about five verses down, he says this, if you give, it gets pressed down and given back. But the amount given back is based on the amount first given. Now, isn't that amazing, complex thought? No, it's so simple. You get out of life what you put into it. You get out of relationships what you put into it. You get out of God what you put into it. You say, hey, what do you mean? Remember that Adrian Rogers, I don't know how much of God you have, but I promise you, you've got all you want. You know, I don't know how godly you are, but you're as godly as you want to be. You know, I don't know how much of God you've seen, but you've seen as much as you wanted to. And the truth is I don't know how many friends you got, but you've got as many as you want to have. Because there's 7 billion people in the world. 7 billion. I've been now to 6 different nations, okay, and I'm counting the flight layovers, all right? And I made friends in every airport. Me and Rob, it's easy to make friends with Robert, because Robert just doesn't stop talking. You know what I mean? He's out there. He's funny. He's hilarious. He has a good sense of humor, and he just makes friends. And I am the introvert. Anybody like that in here? You know, I know y'all probably don't think that because I'm standing up here, but I'm introverted. When we went to the wedding over Labor Day weekend with my wife, she's the one all bubbly. They announced her name coming out. She's dancing coming out, and I'm just like, I'm the minister doing the whole thing, and I walk out like this with my head down, and I stand there. I'm scared to death. I don't know anybody, you know? So you know what I do when I go to a crowd? I stay close to her. Do you know why? Because if she's outgoing, I'm going to meet people. And if I am near somebody like that, then I'm going to make friends. And can I tell you this? It doesn't matter color. It doesn't matter race. It doesn't matter gender. There's friends out there to be made if you're willing and want to make them. But you, how do you attract them? You got to show yourself to be one. All right, it says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Thank God for that, all right? Let's learn from the greatest friend we've ever had, you know, and let's just call it what it is. Jesus Christ has been pretty amazing to you and I, has he not? And he said, hey, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Christ never met a stranger. He always reached out to anybody that was around him. Anybody. All right, now, NLT says, there are friends who destroy each other. All right, now he's saying, hey, look, listen. It says, to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. In other words, it's saying there are quote-unquote people who say they're your friends that are not at all. All right? You say, well, how do I know who my friends are? How nice are they to you? I mean, it blows my mind. People date jerks. Have you noticed that? And you sit there and you tell them, he's a jerk. She's a jerk. And they're like, but I just love him. Why? You know? It's like you're bawling your eyes out. I mean, that's not love. I mean, that's pain. You know, that's a good symbol. I tell people all the time, when people are crying and they're speaking their heart, that's a good moment. It's awkward always. You never know what to do when somebody starts crying. You know what that means? It's a good moment to stop and pray. Somebody's bawling their eyes out and you're sitting there, you don't know what to say. Stop and pray. Stop and pray. But I'm sitting there and they're, man, he's just so wonderful. I just don't know why. Break up with him. You know, break up with her. That's not for you. You know, if they were so wonderful, there wouldn't be a but. There would be an and. I'm not an English major, but I know that much. You keep going. Now, can I tell you this? If we would figure that out in our friendships before we ever started dating the people, we wouldn't wind up in the messes we're in. But if we haven't figured that out in our friendships, we better figure it out while dating. Because once you get married, that's binding. That's lifelong. And it gets harder. And can I tell you, then you think, well, we're going to have a baby and it'll fix it. You have a baby, and now you need like a full-time counselor living in your house. You know what I mean? Now, you need somebody helping you out with your stress. Can I tell you this? Listen to me, teenagers, don't buy into the lie that life gets easier. It doesn't. Life gets harder, but it gets more rewarding. With greater risk come greater reward. The older you get, the more risk you have to take. And if you risk it in faith, then you get a better return than if you just risk it based on your own understanding. That's why he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. Are y'all with us? Everybody with us? All right, let's move on to point 3. How the wrong friends. This is what we're going to talk about now. How can the wrong friends destroy you? Let me give my points first, and then I'll give you yours. All right? Is that cool? Go to Proverbs 22, verse 24 through 25. I'm going to give you three different passages of Scripture on how the wrong friends can destroy your life. All right. Look at this. Don't befriend angry people or associated with hot-tempered people. Well, why? I'm glad you asked. Look at the next one. Verse 25, it says this. Or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. In other words, it's like this. The wrong friends, you'll pick up their wrong habits. If they gossip, then guess what you're going to do? Gossip. If they lie, then guess what you're going to do? You know? Hey, listen, ladies, listen to me. If your best friend lies to her husband, you might want to reconsider how close you are in that relationship. Because pretty soon you're going to get numb to the fact of lying to your husband. And then you're going to start lying to yours. And it's not going to work. Guys, same thing. If your best friend checks out all the other women, talks about how hot they are all the time, you might need to reconsider how close you are to that friend. Because your eyes should be for your prize and nobody else's. Are you with me? You understand? Now, I'll let him rebut these in the teenage fashion, all right? But let's move on to the second thing. Number one, you'll pick up their bad habits. That'll destroy you, all right? Number two, matter of fact, can I ask you this? Those people, and I'm not getting political with it, but those that smoke were probably offered a cigarette. They didn't buy their first one. And those that drink were probably offered a drink. They didn't drink their first one. They didn't go buy it. You know why? Somebody offered it. You know why? Because Satan always gives free what's going to cost you the rest of your life. Does that make sense? All right. Let's move on. Number two. James chapter 4, verse number 4. This one's real. You adulterers. He's talking about your relationship with God here. It's like, you cheaters. Don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. This is probably the most dangerous thing that bad friends can do to you. It can hinder your relationship with God. Now, it's not saying that God's out to destroy you. It just simply means this. If you are friends with the world, you're against what God's trying to accomplish. And can I tell you what happens? It's not that God's going to just destroy you or God's out to get you. God just never loses. And if he's doing his will and you're over there doing what the world's doing, which is against his will, God never loses. And if God never loses and you're on the other team, then who loses? You. I'm going to tell you this. There's a lot of people that they're not growing in the relationship with Christ because of who their friends are. They're not growing in their walk with Christ because of who they hang out with. We say it all the time. You want to know where you're going in life? Look at who you're going with. They determine. All right, now, very last one. They hinder your relationship with God. Number three, it ruins your testimony. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says it this way. Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Read that with me. Bad company corrupts. Can I tell you this? Your testimony, it can be reestablished by Jesus Christ in your mind, in your heart, and in heaven. But it is not so easy with the rest of the world. Have you noticed that? I've told many people this. Listen, when you have sinned and it has hurt other people, it is easier for you to get over that sin than it is for the people that you hurt. All right? In other words, it's this way. If I just totally, totally destroyed Sam by embezzling from his company, he's 15 years old, he's got a multi-billion dollar company, and I take 90% of his as his accountant, and I keep it for myself, and then one day his lights get turned off, they come and they padlock the door because nobody's paid the lease on the warehouse. Do you think Sam's going to be a little bit offended and worried and hurt by what I've done to him? Yeah, no doubt, and this happens all the time. Now here's the problem. I in my heart can make it right. I can go to Jesus. I can get right. I can literally, truly repent and get over that. And in that moment, I'm a new creation. In that moment, I'm changed. But he's still hurting. Does that make sense? And in my heart, I know who I am in Christ. And in my mind, I know who I am. That's why people that get out of jail have such a hard time. Because a lot of them, they've made decisions that changed their lives. But nobody else is willing to accept that they've changed. Nobody else. Can I tell you this? Listen, and I say it all the time. If you have hurt someone else, understand, it will take them a lot longer to get over it than you. So you've got to be patient, and it's going to be frustrating. At times, you're going to want to not have to answer the questions you've already answered 100 times. You better answer every time it's asked. And at times, you're going to want to run because they're broken and you just can't get why they can't get over it. Listen, only you know what's going on inside of you. Only you and God, nobody else. The only way we're going to see it is to see your fruits. And here's the truth about fruit. Plant a seed today, it takes a season for a fruit to grow. Put corn in the ground at the beginning of the summer, it takes the entire summer to get a corn stalk. Can I tell you this? You may think that that immediate change should present immediate fruits. It does not. It takes season. It takes proof. It takes a lifestyle change. Do you understand? You with me? So here's the truth. If we do not grasp this, the wrong friends can ruin our testimonies. And once that's ruined, it could take decades to get back. And by the time you get it back, the people you're supposed to reach could already be gone. I tell people all the time, it's not my name that matters. It's what my name represents. His name. That's what matters. And it's not, I don't want his testimony to be marred by my testimony. By the things I do, by the things I say. Are you with me? So your wrong friends can destroy you. How can they do that? Number one, they can really give you some bad habits. Number two, what can they do? They can really, really hinder your relationship with God. And number three, they can ruin your testimony. All right, your perspective.
My perspective is a little different because it's important to me that I know my worth, because when it comes to friends, you know, you're going to have people that hurt you and you're going to have people that love you. But when you do get hurt, how do you handle the situations? And that's probably the most important. You know, do you let it affect you? Do you let it shape your future? So that's why it's important to know your worth in Christ. And this goes for everybody, because when you know your worth in Christ, then you become Christ-like. See what I'm saying? When you know what Jesus has done for you, and how much God loves you, then it's so easy to just step out in faith and do what God tells you to do, because you love him just like he loves you. And so that's why it's important to know your worth. Know what you're worth to him. When that guy breaks up with you, hey, you know what? It's for the right reason. God's got better for me. When that friend leaves you and for another person, hey, you know what? That friend was just a test, so I can help my friends in the future with that same problem. And that's why it's important to know who you are, to know your worth in Christ. Because of situations like that. It goes back to being the example. When you know who you are in Christ and you're able to handle the situations, you're that example. And then people will follow you later in life because you've handled those situations Christ-like, like you're supposed to.
So is it safe to say that when you take on and know your worth in Christ, that you will not probably have the wrong friends in your life? Because in all honesty, can I tell you this? People that don't want to be like Christ don't want to be around other people that do want to be like Christ. They don't. Now, does that give us the right to be mean to people? Not at all. There's just going to be people that don't like you. You know what? You're still called to love them. Doesn't mean you have to be best friends with them, but you're still called to love them. And that's why I agree 100%. You got to know your worth in Christ, because then you know it's not you that they hate in the first place. Jesus even said, when they persecute you, remember, they persecuted me first. When they hate you, remember, they hated me first. All right? So you got to know your worth. That's right. If not, the wrong friends can get in there and ruin everything. The last thing, all right? The benefits of good friends. Proverbs 13, verse 20. All right, we'll hit these quick. Walk with wise and become what? Wise. That's pretty simple. Associate with fools and... Now, how many of you have ever gotten in trouble for what somebody else did that you were with? Yeah, I think we've all been there. How mad were you? We're not going to get into that, all right? But the truth is, man, isn't it irritating? Especially when it's a sibling. Like, you remember back when you were younger? Anybody have, like, brothers and sisters growing up that were close in age? You know, you'd be outside doing something, all of a sudden you hear mom come out screaming, dad come out screaming, everybody get in the house. They're grabbing twigs. How many of you remember those days? All right? And you're running in, you're like, what in the world, you know? And they just, you're guilty by association. That is hogwash, you know? It's just, it's awful. You know, I remember having to do a Saturday school because my friends broke into the gym on a Saturday and ate the ice cream out of the cooler. I was with my dad at the church on that Saturday, but the principal called me in and said, I'm going to teach you a very valuable lesson in friendship. Because I know you're always with them, I'm going to punish you with them. And I'm like, you're a jerk. But it stuck. I mean, you know, when you got to get down, and this is back before everybody sued for everything. You had the gym. Anybody ever had a Saturday school back in the day? You know what I mean? They gave you a towel, and they wetted one, and they gave you another one that was dry. It was on the other end of the court. And you had to get down, and without putting your knees on the ground, you had to run and mop the entire floor. Then you had to run and dry it. And then when that was done, you had to go scrub toilets with toothbrushes. I mean, that's what they did. You say, what happened? I don't know. I was born in the wrong generation. You know, I could have been a millionaire off that, you know, but now it's like they get the tension, different things like that. But man, I was so mad because I wasn't even there. That guilty by association thing, that's hogwash. But I'm going to tell you this. If I'm going to be guilty by association, I'd much rather be in the first sentence. Hanging out with the people that are just smart. You know, because I'm going to tell you, I could use somebody else's smartness because I lack in a lot of areas of my own. Anybody else like that? I mean, I could use some wisdom from somebody who's already been where I am. Somebody saying, hey, don't do this because I've already done that and it didn't work out. You know, I think it was Dennis or somebody, we were joking, I said, one day we'll be able to teach people what not to do from all the mistakes we've made and what we've learned. We're not going to teach them the things of how we did it. It's going to be like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And you'll be great. You know, listen, you can knock off years of your life just listening by somebody who says, I've got that t-shirt. You know, we made it so cliche that we hate it. And let me borrow you for a second. So Sam's perspective is, listen to mom and dad because they actually know what they're talking about, right? Yeah, there we go. I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but that's probably it, right? Am I right, Hugo? That's what Sam says all the time, right? You know, but the thing is listen, there is wisdom in having good friends. There's some unique benefits to having people that know what they're doing. Somebody shook my hand one time and I was like, how in the world did you accomplish this? They shook my hand, they said this, it's all in who you know. And I was like, well, I don't like that, but I like that you know them. You know, I like that I have VIP passes. I like that. I'll take, you know, association getting in the back door any day. You know, that's nice. I'll take that association free meal. You know, I'll never forget Nate Skellinger, one of our founding elders, moved to Knoxville. I went one day to lunch with him over at the Subway. I think him and Jason, all right, back when they worked for Jefferson County. We walked in, and the guys knew that Jason and Nate were police officers, so they gave them free meals. And when I walked up behind him, he made mine free too. And I was just like, I'm fine with that, you know? It's like, I'm not a cop, but I'm with them. Yeah, that's right, you know? Don't make me mad. I know those guys, you know? But the thing is hey, I'd rather be in the associated that gets the benefits than to be associated with the ones that are going to get me in trouble. All right? All right, so, yeah, benefits of a wise friend is that you get wisdom. So, number two, all right, Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6. An open rebuke is better than hidden love. Stop. Let's go back. Let's read that again. An open rebuke is better than hidden love. Man, our society really needs that one, don't they? In other words, man, listen, sometimes you need somebody to step up and say, stop. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't go there. It goes on and it says it this way in verse number 6. It says, hey, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from the enemy. In other words, my feelings are hurt. Well, if it's good advice, good. Good. You just got stronger. I'd much rather somebody come up to me and tell me what they think than to hide their true intention. Anybody else like that? I'd much rather you be Peter pulling out your sword, cutting somebody's ear off. We don't know exactly it was Peter, but let's just imagine he had a temper. Then you be Judas kissing me on the cheek. Which friend would you would like to have in the garden? The Judas or the Peter? Are you with me? There's too many Judases in our lives. Too many people that kiss us, tell us all these good things, and then behind our backs, they plot evil. Can I tell you this? Listen to me. All you singles, listen to me. We live in a generation that even in the physical realm, they see you as an object and not a person if you're not careful. They see you as an object of their own pleasure than a person with feelings and emotions. Ladies, listen to me. Do not let some guy talk you into something that you will regret later. It is not a guarantee. That's a little preview to purity. It is not a guarantee that just because he'll kiss you, hold your hands, or do other things with you, that he is going to stick beside you. It is not a guarantee. And can I say this? If we read the pornography addiction statistics right, 51% of women are addicted to pornography. 49% of men, the women have passed the men. You can Google this and look it up. The women have passed the men in that addiction. All right? And I look at it and I say, we normally bash the men for that. Let's stop and let's say, hey guys, just because she acts like she likes you doesn't mean she does. So don't buy her jewelry on the first date. Don't go out and spend all these things. How many times have we said it to people? You have set the bar way too high. You know? Hey, you know, you need somebody that's going to... I remember talking to our drummer, Donnie. Love him dearly. He's a great guy. He was talking about getting a car. He's very smart with what he's doing financially. And we were talking through it. Were you there when we had this conversation? And he said, man, listen. He said, I felt like if I got a nicer car, you know, it'd be more impressive to take somebody on a date. I say, you need to find the girl that loves getting in that one. A girl that enjoys that one. Because if she likes, and it's a great car, there's nothing wrong with it. And I said, but you hang on to that one. Because the girl that'll get in that one and love it is the one that's going to love you. But if you have to go get the nice truck, or you have to go get the nice car, then one day that's going to be a nice house that you can't afford. And next thing you know, you're working three jobs, and you can't keep up, and you're not having any fun. And when you can't please her, she finds somebody that can. Can I tell you this? You don't need that. The truth is, man, I'd rather somebody come up to me and be honest, and let me be me, and you be you, than somebody to pretend they like me, and then act totally different outside. Now, unfortunately, that comes with my job. Anybody else working a job like that? You are tax appraisers. It comes with y'all's job too, doesn't it? People come out, hey, it's good to see you. They get their tax bill. They want to kill you. You know, the thing is, man, how many of you work in a job to where people are fake all the time, all around you? Anybody like that? You know, can I tell you this? Listen, you keep your focus and you keep your eyes. Here's why. There are going to be people in your life that they come up and they say the things you need to hear. And because you need to hear it, you're not going to like it. And because you don't like it, you're going to think they're the enemy. Those people are the ones you need to hang on to. That's why I say all the time, you want to be a good pastor. And I've told pastors this starting churches that have called. You want to be a good pastor? Surround yourself with a bunch of men and women that are not afraid to tell you no. If you surround yourself with everybody that's going to tell you yes, you're going to have major issues down the road. You know why? Because sometimes you need somebody that's going to step up and say, you're about to do something that's going to bankrupt us. Okay, well, tell me about that. You're about to do something that we can't, I'll never forget when we were going to start it was back at our former church, we were going to start a daycare. And we sat in a meeting and we said, hey, what do y'all think about starting a daycare? And one person raised their hand at the end of it and said, has anybody thought about the codes? This building's very old. I was like, well, that is a very good question. We went and found out it cost like somewhere between $100,000 and $200,000 just to get one section of the church brought up to code. You know what? It's not a good idea. We're not doing it. You know why? We couldn't afford it. You know, I'm thanking God in my life for the people that have stood my way. They kept me. That's a good friend. All right? Look at this, and then I'll let Sam talk, and we'll be done. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. So number one, you get the wisdom. Number two, you can trust their advice. Number three, their strength in numbers. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. I love this verse. Verse number 10. It goes on and it says, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Can I tell you this? One thing I love about our church is there's members that call us, people that call us all the time that need help. And every time that we can, we're there, are we not? Whether it's financial, whatever it is. Now you say, well, I called and I didn't get help. Can I tell you this? A lot of times there's not a day that passes that we don't get somebody asking for money. Not one day. All right. Every day. Can I tell you, about 60% of those ever make their way to the top. You know why? Because 40% tell me the same lie I've heard for the past 7 years. Well, I'm looking for a church, you know, and I know we haven't been in church in a while. And I know, you know, but we're thinking about coming. We heard about your church. And I'm like, you know, I've heard that lie so many times. You know how many people we've helped that I've never seen their faces other than when their hand was out? You know, and when they start lying to me like that, I immediately have this spirit come over that says something's not right. You know, or I get the whole, well, we're driving from Michigan to Florida and we need gas money. Then why are your plates from Tennessee? That's all I got to ask. Why does your plate say Jefferson County, Tennessee? I always send somebody out. Will you go back out there? And what kind of car do you drive? A Honda. It's white. Will you go out there and see what plates they have? Never fails. They come back in. Oh, they're from this county. Well, whose car? Well, that's a rental. How did you rent a Jefferson County, Tennessee tag all the way up in Michigan and wind up in Jefferson County, Tennessee? It must be angels in the outfield, you know? I don't know. I picked you up and brought you down here. You know, it's like I'm not an idiot. But there's this times that these people that are serving, that are behind the scenes all the time, they're falling apart and they normally don't ask. And all of a sudden you'll see something different in their smile, or they'll send you a text and saying, hey, I hate to ask. And by the time I get to the end of that sentence, I'm already calling our treasurer saying, can we help them? Why? Can I tell you why? Because I trust them. Because we know them, and my spirit, it yokes with theirs. And I stood up here Sunday morning, and I looked at a couple in the face, and they were telling me all kinds of stories. And I looked at them, and I said, hey, my spirit's not getting along with what you're saying. I said, no, one of you start telling the truth. And man, when the truth started coming out, it was totally different than what they'd said before. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. And I thank God that I don't ever fall into real trouble because God has surrounded me by some pretty amazing people. And man, if I do fall short, they're there. I sent a text to Pastor Dennis yesterday saying, pray for me. I'm angry. I'm very angry. And I'm staying away from people at all costs. You know, number one, I was sick, so I knew. You know, when you're sick, you're tired, you're hungry, be careful and avoid people. All right? You know why? Because you will eat them for lunch. You will hurt them. And I was tired, I've been sick, it has been rough, and we got some bad news this week, and I was just like, I'm angry, and I just need somebody to pray. And you know what? It wasn't, why are you angry or what? It's like, gotcha, I love you, that's it. You know, and in all honesty, can I tell you, I just, in that moment, he was texting me and I told him, he's the only person that knows the news. And in there, I sit there and I'm like, you know what, I don't understand things sometimes, but I do know this, I'm thankful I don't do life alone. I'm thankful that God has put people all around us that we can lean on, and all around us, David stepping up, taking my class on Monday, and just out of the blue, David, I'm throwing up, will you be on call? All he does at the end is he sends me a text that says, you're in chapter 12 when you get back. You know, I look at that and I'm like, man, I thank God that people don't judge me. That they sit there and they let me be real. Because the truth is there's been times that I've been alone in my life and I almost lost everything. And I almost lost my own life at my own hands. I'll never forget a point, what was it, 6 years ago, calling Jason, one of our elders, before I even knew he was going to be one of our elders. And I say, I'm at a very bad place in my life, and I got a gun in my house. Will you take it? And I took that gun, and he took it from me. How many years did you hang on to that thing? 4 or 5, wasn't it? I had forgot about it until one day I saw a snake. And I was like, you know what, I might want my gun back. And I sent him a text, and I said, Jason, do you still have my gun? And he's like, yeah. You know what? He never brought it up. Never asked me about it. Never did anything. He just took it. He hid it. And for 5 years, it's like it never happened. You know what? I look at that, and I'm like, I am where I am today by, number one, the grace of God. And number two, by the amazing people he's put in my life. You know what? There's benefits. There's real benefits when you choose not to do it alone. You don't have to do life alone. You don't. The best connection you can ever make is true with God. But I'm going to tell you this. If you're connected to God, then soon to follow, he will connect you with his people. And when you get disconnected from his people, it's hard to stay connected to him. So let me debunk this. Why do I need church? You need people in your life. Why is it important to be there? You need other people in your life. And you need to be connected, and you need to have them around you, and you need to have somebody you can lean on. You need to have somebody you can call and tell your deepest, darkest secrets to, and know that it's never going to be used against you, and it's never going to be thrown in your face. You need to know that on your worst day, they're going to be there. They may not like you, but they're going to be there. And you need to know that on your best day, that they are the reason you're standing there. Never forget who God has put in your life, and never, ever, ever, ever try to do it on your own, because you will not make it. You need people. Now, I'm just going to debunk it, and I'm going to leave it here. I'm going to trust that none of you are going to come up to me and ask me about this and talk to us about this or put this on Facebook or post it. We're going to ask that you pray about it. But our son had a major test done just 2 weeks ago, and we found out that now he's got a disease that's not curable. And we're looking at it, and it's not life-threatening, but it's not curable. And it's totally separate from everything that he's been going through. And in that moment, I just want to scream. But you know what? The truth is God is God. And God is real. And God is faithful. And God is true. And he is able to do things that we cannot even comprehend. So today, yes, he starts a brand new medicine that'll be on the rest of his life. But I stood here just a week ago and I said, there'll come a day that he will not cover his ears. That he'll stand with an amazing story. And we step out and we say, hey, look, we may be fighting real battles, but we're not fighting these battles alone. Why? There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And the truth is because of that friend, I've got you and you've got me. We can do this. We can do this. And many of you are facing problems today. Matter of fact, let's just look at it. How many of you got some things going on in your life today that you're struggling with? Anybody? Man, we're facing some battles. Yeah. Stop pretending, okay? Stop feeling like you got to walk around like everything's okay because you don't. Start relying on God and those that he's placed around you. The greatest thing you'll ever have in your life is friendship. It's the greatest gift we've been given, his relationships. Anything you want to add? All right. Yeah, I went somewhere I didn't think I was going, so I apologize. Last verse, Proverbs 27, verse 17. Why don't you read it, Sam, and then close us in prayer. Can you do that? Read it out loud on your mic.
As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend.
Amen. Pray for us.
All right. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for bringing us all here. You know, we're all going through something, God, but you still bring us to the place where we can be surrounded by people who love us the most, God. Lord, I just pray for everybody in here, and I just pray that you put your hand of comfort and love over their heart, God, and I just pray that you just walk with them and guide them, God. I just pray that you put people in their lives that love them as much as you love them, God, and I just pray that you're with them every step of their path, God. We love you, and we praise you, and we thank you for all the blessings you've given us, Lord. It's your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We're going to fire up some music. Maybe it's a nice night you make a new friend, but stick around and talk with everybody if you want. It's 8:10. We're out 20 minutes earlier than we normally are, okay? So God bless you. You're dismissed.